Blog Talk Radio.
It's about damn time.
It's Thursday night and time for the Hot Corner.
There are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Your home for all things MLB.
Suck one out of the park for me!
The Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
I love baseball.
The balance has you covered with a Hot Corner.
Watch where you're walking, guys. I don't want you to step in the crap I just knocked out of that ball, huh?
News, rumors, and fantasy, it's all on the Hot Corner.
Baseball, it's the best.
And here is your host, Tom Marquis.
See you later.
Beautiful pitch by Kershaw. And what a catch by Carlos Beltran. High fly ball into deep right field. I don't believe it. High fly ball, deep left field. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. Down at the wall, leaps up, and he makes the catch.
There goes the runner. The
ball's going off again. Here's Williams' throw. Right there. He
did he get around the tag? He did.
And Hamilton beat it.
Throw by Vancouver. They got him.
Hit into right. Back at the wall. Home game.
Draw came out.
This well, the left center field. Back toward the track. And that ball is gone.
And the Rays are in the postseason.
Celebration time.
The Dodgers are the National League West champions.
St. Louis Cardinals win their third straight division series.
It hasn't happened at Fenway Park for 95 years. The Red Sox are world champions.
If it happens in baseball, he talks about it.
Red Sox or Phillies, which team has the best racist fans in baseball?
Well, maybe not that.
Game over, bitch.
Back to the balance on...
All right, my minions, I tell you what, it is Thursday night and opening night of the Hot Corner. Welcome back to another season of Baseball Talk for the next... however many weeks, however many months, all the way up to the new World Series champion of 2014. We, here at the Hot Corner, we are a family in the family of the balance. And certainly you listen to the balance and myself every Saturday morning. So glad that you could join us here on the Hot Corner. We've got a lot to get into today in some baseball talk opening week. And we're going to talk about some of the opening games. The Cubs lost. We're going to talk a little bit about, the first replay challenge. We're going to be talking a little bit about this wild story going on now with Daniel Murphy. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. We're going to talk about everything that's happened this week. And we're just going to have fun dogging out the Cubs. Even going as far as to say, well, let's just say that one of their players, well, they wore the wrong jersey. Selfies with the President Obama? Well, that's okay. I did my own selfie with the President as well. The President of the Pittsburgh Pirates out at the first pitch party put on by the Indianapolis Indians. I had an opportunity to talk with him, meet him. So, hey, I did my own presidential selfie as well. Got to get that up on the social media for you, too. Had an opportunity to talk to some Indians, and we'll get into that and get into the Indianapolis Indians conversation. I tell you what, it is just beginning. It is opening night 2014 in the hot corner. My name's Tom Marquis. Myself and my sidekick, $2 Bill Josh, are on deck. We'll be right back with opening night of the hot corner.
It's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's triple A. We should be...
Little roller up along first, behind the back! It gets through Buckner! Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
Now the pitch. There's a high drive, deep right, center, way back. Might be out of here. It's off the wall. One run is in. Two runs are in. A third man scores. And look at this star.
Way back. Might be out of here.
Hey!
He did it again. He did it again.
Oh.
The game is tied. The game is tied. Holy cow.
How about that?
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
All right. Well, we all know the rest of that story. The Cubs are going to win today. They actually did win today, so we'll give them credit. Joining me now is my partner in crime for tonight during the hot corner opening night festivities, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. How are we doing, sir?
We are doing pretty good, but we can barely hear you, Tom.
What about now? What about now? Can you hear me now?
That's much better.
All right, we'll try this again. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. Josh, mic check. Can you hear me just fine now?
We got you loud and clear now.
Loud and clear. All right. I tell you what, it's opening night. We've got to get the bugs worked out the best that we can. But it is what it is. Welcome to the hot corner. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente for the next hour. And we're going to do this thing we call the Hot Corner every Thursday night from 7 to 8 o'clock Eastern right here on the Balance Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Indiana Talks. You guys are catching us in the first hour of their overnight, I should say, between 10 and 11 every Thursday. So if you're listening to us on Indiana Talks right now, welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back. Well, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Myself, $2 Bill Josh. Got a lot to break down. We're going to break down some of the opening day action. And we'll start with a little bit closer to home. And then we got a lot of on deck here for you today. We're going to be diving into this big conversation about Daniel Murphy. We are going to get into that. Certainly my digits, 917-889-8516. Mr. Ed Kratz is going to be joining us this evening sometime and within the next hour and talking with us and giving us a preview about those Philadelphia Phillies, what's going on out there in the city of brotherly love. They got to have a better season than the 76ers. So we'll give them a pass on that and save that for the Balance, which airs every Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. All right, well, let's get right into it. We'll start with the Cubs, the Pirates game opening day. We had the first replay challenge
done by the Cubs as well. And guess what? They lost the challenge. You can't get irony any better than that. So let's talk real quickly about this Cubs-Pirates series. Like I said, I had an opportunity to meet the president of the Pittsburgh Pirates to get into that conversation here a little bit later on. But I did get my presidential selfie done. So I tell you what, Poppy got nothing on me, that's for sure. But the Chicago Cubs and the Pirates go into extra innings, game one of the season opener, if you will. And $2 bill. Josh, talk about that series between the Cubs and the Pirates. And, you know, the Cubs pulled out a win today as well.
Well, the Cubs are a young team. They're not going to be very good, but having MLB extra innings, I get to see every team in the majors. So that's pretty Tom, did you see the guy on the Cubs? I believe it was the Cubs. He didn't even know what jersey to wear. Come on. That's how you know you're a bad franchise.
That was great. That was great. Wore the wrong jersey. Maybe he still wore a Cubs jersey, but he wore the wrong one. And it was Junior Lake wore the wrong jersey. Funny stuff. Funny stuff. I don't know. Maybe is that their triple A affiliate jersey there, Josh? I don't know.
Well, that's just one and two wardrobe malfunctions this week. I don't know if you've seen the other one, Tom. It was a Rangers cap. So they got the front of the cap right. They put the T on it, but on the side of the cap it said Cubs.
No, I missed that one. I missed that one. Well, I tell you what, we're going to give Junior Lake some hard times. He trotted out to the field in the first inning against the Pirates wearing the wrong jersey. He donned a jersey reading Chicago, while the rest of the Cubs teammates and coaches wore their away jersey simply saying Cubs. So he wore his home jersey or his away jersey, however that came about. By the second inning, Lake had confirmed to wearing the appropriate, conformed to wearing the appropriate jersey. Well, Josh, let's talk a little bit about, let's get down to some serious talk here. We're going to get into a lot of conversation, a lot of talk, so we kind of want to get through these opening day games of the best that we can. But really, we look at some of the takeaways from the 2014 MLB opening day, and, you know, we're going to get into some conversation with the Phillies here in just a little bit with Ed Kratz when he gives us a call, and we're going to talk about the Phillies. So I'm going to put the Phillies on the back burner here, but we look at the Atlanta and Milwaukee. Ryan Braun's connection and 65 game suspension in 2013 may have tarnished his legacy and the future Hall of Fame credentials and reputation around the game, but did not really change how the Milwaukee Brewers treated their best player on opening day. So Ryan Braun, thoughts on him coming back in 2014? Is all this behind him?
Well, I thought Ryan Braun looked pretty good this week. I thought, you know, he took his medicine. He apologized. He admitted he lied. He owned up to it after he got the poor guy fired from the lab. But I don't think he's going to be a story this year, Tom. I think he's going to end up getting injured. You know, it seems like baseball has a way of when you cheat the game, you get injured the next year. If you go back and look through the years, it seems when you try to cheat the game, you end up suffering a weird injury. I have a feeling that's going to happen to Ryan Braun this year.
Right. Well, let's hope not. Well, I want to talk a little bit about going back to the Cubs again. I want to talk a little bit about, really, you know, we joke about the Cubs. It could have been anybody, though, but we joke about the Cubs in the Pirates game and opening day out there in Pittsburgh. Prior to the first pitch of opening day, as we know that there's a new rule in place, it's a replay challenge, kind of similar to that of the NFL. And it's we call it the replay rule. And so – the first team to use that challenge this year was the Chicago Cubs. We joke about it because they were the first ones to use it, and they lost. So there is some humor there, but we do see a new rule take place in 2014 for the MLB and around the MLB. Talk with us about, Josh, about the new replay challenge rule and how you think it may affect games, especially in the postseason.
Well, so far, I think there's been a total of 18 challenges. 15 of them have been upheld. 4 of them have been overturned. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like it in the National Football League either. If you're going to go to challenges, why don't we just put something in the baseball that electronically tell you if it's a strike or a ball or whether it got to the bag before the runner? It takes the umpire out of the game, and I don't know, Tom, it just doesn't sit well with me. It's baseball trying to be too much like football, trying to, I don't know, I just don't like it at all.
Well, I agree. I don't know that a lot of people like that. I think that, one, here's what I worry about. I worry about, is this going to really extend a game that's already kind of long as it is? Really, you can, when you can look at some of these West Coast games and they go into extra innings, and, you know, we saw teams go 23, 24 innings out there on the West Coast. So you throw the mix in there with the replay challenge, I think we're looking for a game extension that's just going to get out of hand. Now, they're saying that they're gonna keep an eye on that, so certainly we'll keep an eye on it as well. Interesting. We'll see how it plays out. I guess it's still very early in the season, so we really don't have a good gauge of how successful the replay challenge is. But certainly it's something to keep our eyes on. You know, I want to talk also about the Baltimore Orioles and Nelson Cruz in his debut. I think he'll have a huge impact in the American League and also with the Baltimore Orioles. What are your thoughts and takeaways on Nelson Cruz with the Baltimore Orioles?
Well, as you know, they're playing my beloved Red Sox right now, and that series is tied 1-1. Nelson Cruz has had a big impact so far in the series. But I don't mean to discriminate against anybody, but Nelson Cruz, if you want to have a good year, you got to step away from Dunkin' Donuts, drink a little less Starbucks, and eat a little less of Grandma's blueberry or apple pie, whatever your pie of choice is. He's really bad shape after being suspended last year. He was a lot skinnier, had a lot more power this year. This year he looks like he spent too much time at Dunkin' Donuts and eating pie.
Hey, man, don't. It's America's favorite pastime. And the other one is Dunkin' Donuts and eating pie. Well, hey, I want to talk about Grady Sizemore coming back. Certainly, we look at his return there again with the Sizemore's return, and certainly I think Josh, you could talk to this a little bit better than a lot of people, but Grady Sizemore returning to the MLB and returning to full time action. What are your thoughts on that?
He's looked good so far. He's looked good defensively. He swung the bat pretty solid so far. The question with Grady Sizemore is it's been 3 or 4 years since he's played more than 130 games. Bottom line, the Red Sox had to keep him. We're a really young team. We have Middlebrooks, who's in his third year. We have Xander Bogaerts, our shortstop's in his first full year. We really wanted to put Jackie Bradley out in center field. But, Tom, you've been following baseball longer than I have. You can't win the World Series with 3 rookies in your starting lineup.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that point, but it's still, I always like to say this, that we're still in the wait and see stage with a lot of things that are going to happen. You know, history has a way of teaching us some valuable lessons inside of the MLB and the history of the game. And, you know, yeah, you're right. I've been following the game all the way back since Babe Ruth. So I think he played in some of the greatest games of all time. I don't know. We could probably go on and on about some of the greatest teams in MLB history. So we could see what an impact that a rookie's going to play, I guess is what I'm saying. But there have been some teams where there's been a lot of impacts made by rookies in their rookie season. So we'll see how that plays out. Well, you know, we're talking about some more opening day type games and scenarios. As we looked at the Cardinals and the Reds, certainly the Cardinals have, and I certainly my team, my favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals, to make no moans about it. But they kind of went to sleep there at the end, and they were really they still ended up shutting out the Cincinnati Reds, but there at the end they were in Error City. So we look at the St. Louis Cardinals and the Cincinnati Reds. They are going to be the two National League Central battle people doing battle for the National League Central win, and certainly going to be in that mix for the pennant this year. So you look at the Reds, you look at the Cardinals, got a good game going on right now. As a matter of fact, it might be over by now. I have not seen the final score yet if it is, but I know that they played and had a late afternoon start here down at Great American Ballpark. So you look at the Reds and you look at the Cardinals, Josh, what say you?
Well, I say the Cardinals look to be pretty good. They have my favorite baseball player. Yes, I'm a Red Sox fan. But my absolute favorite baseball player is Michael Waka Waka. And yes, I know his last name is Waka Waka.
Waka Waka Waka. Waka Waka Waka. Hey, I tell you what. We enjoyed watching a little Waka action in postseason last year. All right, well, let's get on. Let's get on with these Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't think they were a fluke at all this year. I mean, I really, really, of course, we saw a very good Indianapolis Indians team as well, certainly their AAA affiliate. So I look for some good, a good year with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and certainly Francisco Lorel will play a big part in that as well.
You're absolutely right, Tom. It should be a great year for the Pittsburgh Pirates. On the side note, me and you have seen many of those players develop in Double-A Altoona, and especially here in Triple-A Indianapolis. So is there any new guys that got called up, Tom, or is it still basically the same guys from last year that got called up?
It's still the same guys right now. The thing about with any team, they wait until they've got a few games under their belt. They certainly want to wait until the Indianapolis Indians start their season in full force as well, so they can look at some of these players. So there's not really been anybody that I would say when we could look at some of the off season promotions, if you will. And you know, one of the things about the Frank Conley was talking about the other night at the first pitch party that the Indianapolis Indians had for the media, and I'll just say they know how to throw a party. We had a great time and hung out with them a little bit after the party as well. And so my friend Conley was just basically saying, you know, these kids are so close to the MLB and to the bigs that they can taste it. And so, yeah, and no offense to Indianapolis Indians, but none of them want to play there. I think they did make some off-season moves up, if you will. And we'll see how it is. A lot of this comes, you know, later on when the scouts have a chance to really look at them in the AAA arena as well. And so we're hoping to be talking with Ed Kratz here soon, talking with him about the Phillies. So we do want to talk about the Phillies. But David Price carries over a lot of dominance down there in Tampa Bay, and you look at opening day there. Really, I think we look at very few pitchers so far have impressed me as a dominant pitcher. David Price with the Tampa Bay Rays down there certainly is off to a good start, Josh.
He is off to an incredible start. The question is, will Tampa Bay trade him at the trade deadline? I personally think yes, and I personally think he's going to be in St. Louis for the postseason. I know, Tom, that would make you very happy. But I can't see them trading him to another American League team. And it's traditionally always been the case. The National League team with the best farm system, meaning the best prospect, would be the Cardinals. So logically, you would expect if they decide to trade David Price, there's a great shot he ends up in St. Louis.
I would like to see that. You're absolutely right. We'll see how that plays out. Well, let's talk about another team down there in Florida, the Miami Marlins. We don't really get an opportunity to talk too much about them because they suck. But hopefully this year will be a bit of a turnaround for them. And, you know, I think Jose Fernandez is a big ace of the hole down there. And I think that really, you know, he was the fifth best in season history. I think last year he had a great season. So I'm looking forward to watching Jose Fernandez down there in Miami and what he can do and what he can bring to the team. I think he's their star, their ace. So hopefully he can lead the team to a good season this year.
Well, just kind of going off what you said, Tom, so if they suck and he's their ace, does that mean he's an ace that's sucking or is he actually halfway good?
That's a very good point that I wish that I had an answer for you. Let's get into some money conversation. Obviously, big contracts over the offseason. Mike Trout, $144.5 million contract extension out there at the Angels. I'm sorry. And you look at some of these other big contracts. Detroit Tigers signed a huge contract. And a lot of this stuff is front-ended loaded in contracts are kind of hard to read, but we look at some of the big contracts that were signed over the off season, and we look at the Tigers really rolling the bank out there, rolling the dice. I don't know how big of a fan I am. You look at what the Angels did with Albert Pujols. I bet they wish now they had some of that money back there, Josh. So we look at some of these big contracts that are being signed and that these teams and these ball clubs are writing big checks with the anticipations of big performance, I'm sure. But we look at long-term big contracts with older players. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, like Robinson Cano got $240 million from the Seattle Mariners. He's hardly worth it. But on the other hand, Tom, we can't save owners from spending money foolishly. So you often hear him say, we shouldn't have given that guy that contract, or we need to restructure the collective bargaining agreement. No, owners just need to stop spending money stupidly.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's just talk about what it is. We're waiting on Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, going to be calling us and talking with us about the Philadelphia Phillies. But Miguel Cabrera, contract 292, big smackaroos. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, he's certainly one of the best players ever. There again, talk about Albert Pujols. At one time, Albert Pujols was one of the best players ever. And, you know, Cabrera will be paid really, it comes out to about $45,000 each time he takes the plate, based on his yearly average of 676 plate appearances during six seasons with the Tigers. That's a lot of money to pay for somebody with a wannabe and a maybe. I'm not saying that he's not worth the money. I'm not saying that he couldn't get the money elsewhere. $292 million, though, for a player that is... You know, he's still got a lot of life left in him, don't get me wrong, barring any injury. But, you know, they spent a lot of money for some uncertainty.
I'm not a fan of it. How do we know that the Miguel Cabrera of today is going to be the same guy 10 years from now? And I believe in baseball, Tom. I'm just now getting into covering baseball. Baseball contracts are guaranteed. So he could break his knee today, never be able to play again, and if I understand right, the Detroit Tigers still have to pay him all $292
million. $292 guaranteed. So no matter what happens, yes, they have to pay him a crap load of money. So
why don't me and you, Tom, go play baseball, sign a $300 million contract, and get injured the next day and never be able to play again? They still got to pay us.
I'm all for it. If you can make it happen, Josh, I am right there with you. Well, I tell you what, like you said, it's a business, and they certainly can spend the money however they want, they deem necessary. I think $292 million for a player, certainly that does secure your future with them. But wow, does it hurt you later on? And could hurt you later on. And then we look at salary cap issues, and we look at a lot of different things that could go wrong with that big of a contract. I don't know. Maybe they're the new Yankees, or maybe everybody. You know, really, we can't even say the Yankees anymore. The Dodgers have the largest payroll, so you know, maybe they're the new Dodgers. I don't know. My name's Tom Marcel, Presidente. It's opening night, in the Hot Corner. We're going to be right back. We'll get back. We're going to get into some conversations about Daniel Murphy, why he's missing and what's going on with him. And we should be having Ed Kratz with Calkins Media on with us, talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. Going to be talking about some local minor league teams, predominantly the Indianapolis Indians. We're going to get into their season and what's going on there over in the International League as well. All still to come in the next half hour right here, opening night on the Hot Corner.
Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
When Musial retired, I cried in every ballpark in the National League, every place they went. You know, in the last trip in, they honored Musial. I cried. He didn't cry. Musial didn't cry, but I cried. You know, when you used to hear about this guy, you say, well, it can't be true. And then when you meet him, you say, it's an act. And then when you watch it and watch it and watch it and watch him perform, and then after he quit the way he deports himself, you say, it's amazing. He's one of a kind. And then you look in the record book and see what he did. You see where he came from, the North of Pennsylvania. You say that they won't make them like that anymore. Yeah, they do. They come along, and they find out where they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be in baseball, and they're supposed to be starting.
Stan, a man.
Well, we can't even spell it.
happens in baseball, he talks about it.
Red Sox or Phillies, which team has the best racist fans in baseball?
Well, maybe not that.
Game over.
Back to the Balance Online with host Tom Marquis.
All right, that's right. We are a part of the Balance that we do every Saturday morning right here on the Balance Radio Network from 9 a.m. to 11. This is the Hot Corner. It's opening night. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Joining us is a $2 bill, Josh. Also from out in Philadelphia, Calkins Media, going to be talking with us a little bit about those Philadelphia Phillies. Our good friend Ed Kratz. How we doing, sir?
I'm doing terrific. Baseball season's here, and spring is in the air.
It is. You know, we have no more snow here in Indianapolis. I'm noticing my yard is starting to turn from a shade of brown to a shade of green. The birds are starting to come around the bird feeders now. I'm starting to have to buy some bird seed. So, you know, and there's baseball in the air. And so we had having a great time with the baseball. I had a great time out at the Indianapolis Indians big media party they do every year, and they kind of wine and dine and schmooze the media, invite us all out to this big party out at the JW Marriott, call it the First Pitch Party, and Frank Conley, president of the Pirates, comes down, and we have a big party. Those that don't know, the Indianapolis Indians is obviously the AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So big party we had a great time, and you know, I don't know if you saw Ed. I don't know if you saw this big selfie that Pena did with President Obama. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that. No.
Well, you know what? I was going to say that was like one of the most sweetest selfies out next to Ellen. Now, why people would want to do that? But I got my own selfie, presidential selfie. I want you to know that I got a selfie with Frank Conley, president of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I got that up on social media, too. I'll actually text that to you so that you can see.
I saw that.
Oh, you did?
I did see that one. I did. Yeah, I follow you on Twitter. I saw that thing out there. Yeah. I couldn't tell which one was you, though, Tom. I wasn't sure exactly which one was you.
It's amazing, isn't it? We're like twins. So, see, you know, my presidential selfie is a whole heck of a lot better, that's for sure. Well, let's get into the Phillies. Let's talk a little bit about the Phillies. We've been talking some National League here in the first half. We've been talking about some of the takeaways and some of the things involving the American League and National League. But we were talking about the Cubs obviously making fun of them losing on opening day. And to make matters worse, they got the first replay challenge and lost that on opening day. And one of their players wore the wrong jersey. So, I mean, we couldn't have made this stuff up to make fun of the Cubs a little bit better. Of course, then we talked a little bit about the Reds and the Cardinals and their battle that's going to be going on. But I certainly think that the Rollins and the Phillies are going to be right there in the mix. And $2 Bill Josh, you're with us as well. So let's get into this talk. Let's talk a little bit about the 2014 Phillies. What's in store for us, Ed?
Well, if the old guys can stay healthy, I think the Phillies can be okay. And, of course, you know, the old guys being Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, that core that has been together since most of us were in diapers, probably, it seems. But I'm kidding. They're in their 30s. They have to stay healthy. And if they can, if these guys can answer the bell for 140, 150 games a year, you know, I think they can stay in the race because I like their pitching staff. For sure, with Cliff Lee, once Cole Hamels comes back from the sore arm that he has experienced in spring training, you know, you throw in A.J. Burnett, who is a seasoned veteran and pitched well in his first game this year. And you know, I think their pitching staff is going to be okay. My concern, other than the health of the older guys, is their bullpen. You know, if the bullpen can hold up. They have a lot of guys in that bullpen that don't have a lot of experience. The one that does, Jonathan Papelbon, the closer, really took it on the chin yesterday. Had a 2-run lead going into the ninth inning and gave that right up, and the Phillies lost, and now they're sitting there at 1-2. But I think they have a chance to be in the mix. I think Washington Nationals are probably the best team in the NL East, and I think it's going to be a battle for the wild card. There are two wild cards now. And I think the Phillies can be in that mix. Like I said, they got to stay healthy, and their bullpen really has to kind of learn as it goes along.
Josh, go ahead. Do you have any questions for Ed regarding the Phillies or anything in the National League, for that matter?
Well, I have a comment. As long as Big Pappy keeps hitting two-run home runs, he takes a selfie with whoever he wants. But, you know, I'm an MLB expert, so I get to watch the Phillies. And I've noticed a couple things that are kind of disturbing to me. One of them, maybe I'm completely off base about, you would know, Ed. First one is, thank you, by the way, Phillies, for taking Jonathan Papelbon. You enabled the Red Sox to go out and get Koji Uehara instead of Jonathan Papelbon. But one thing I've noticed, and maybe, Ed, you can tell me if you agree, Ryan Sandberg looks disinterested. He stands there chewing whatever it is he's chewing. I've yet to figure out if it's gum or tobacco. I'm leaning towards tobacco, even though I didn't think you were allowed to nowadays. But on TV, he looks flat out disinterested, like he could care less.
Well, maybe he does. Ryan Sandberg is very, you know, he cares a lot, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a disciplinarian. It's his way or the highway. He benched Jimmy Rollins during spring training for a couple of games to sort of send a message. And, you know, he is juggling the lineup. Under Charlie Manuel, the lineup was kind of what the lineup was. It was Ryan Howard always batted fourth. And, you know, second game of the year, Ryan Sandberg put Ryan Howard in the fifth hole, batted him fifth. Ryan Howard had batted cleanup for 665 straight games prior to that move. So, you know, what he looks like on television or where you're seeing him, I really don't think that's the measure of the man. I think I think he cares a lot. I think he really likes to win. I mean, you know, look, the guy's a Hall of Fame baseball player, and, you know, he hasn't lost interest in the game by any means. Looks can be deceiving, I think. I think Ryan Sandberg cares a whole lot about this team, and he cares a whole lot about winning. He's going to do whatever he can to win games. There's no doubt in my mind about that. So, maybe you just saw him at a bad moment there, $2 Bill. Check him out some more and, you know, keep an eye on him. I saw him clapping once after a home run. I think it was Cody Ashton on opening day. He was actually clapping. So,
could it be a Tony Dungy thing?
As far as just kind of being mellow and you know, looking kind of passive on the sideline, you know,
I was going to say, could it be a Tony Dungy thing where you can't look at Ryan Sandberg and tell if they're winning or losing?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't read too much into it. You know, and Ryan Sandberg is still, new to this. I mean, he did manage the final 44 games, I think it was, or 42 games last year after the Phillies fired Charlie Manuel. So, he's still new at the managing at the major league level. He was very good in the minor leagues as a manager. But, no, I think you're right. I mean, that's a good comparison. Absolutely, you can look at Ryan Sandberg and not know whether they're winning or losing. But don't confuse that with him not having any interest in what's going on in the field. Ryan Sandberg wants to win. As badly as, you know, Phillies fans want to see the Phillies win.
Well, certainly, and like anything else with Philadelphia, when you guys are winning in Philadelphia, everybody loves you. When you're not, everybody hates you. And I would hate to be in the 76ers spot right now. I would hate to be any press conference with the 76ers. I know this is a baseball show, but I had to make that comparison. But at the same time, I think he can be a little bit mellow. I mean, heck, he's got Jimmy Rollins, who is the 14th consecutive season started there at shortstop. And, you know, certainly a lot of questions, like you mentioned earlier and alluded to earlier, surrounding his future with the organization. I think, you know, heck, let's give him his props. Not only did he get his grand slam against the Texas Rangers, you know, to really prove to be a big moment in the Philadelphia's 14-10 victory. It was also a huge historic hit, and I don't know if you guys know this, but according to the MLB Play Index on Twitter, Rollins' 200th career home run placed him in rare company in baseball history after that blast. Only three players, Rollins, Johnny Damon, and Paul Molitor, own the following career stat line: 400 doubles, 100 triples, 200 home runs, and 400 stolen bases. So you know what? When you got a guy like Rollins playing for you for 14 consecutive seasons, you can be Sandberg and be a little bit mellow if you like, Ed.
Yeah, you know, I think Jimmy Rollins has a borderline Hall of Fame credential going. There's no doubt about that. He was the MVP back in maybe 06 it was, or 07. I mean, he was the MVP of the league. And, you know, Jimmy is, you know, on the south side of 30 years old now, and he's, you know, his career is not what it was, but he's still a very productive player. And, you know, I think the fans in Philadelphia are just kind of, you know, they would have liked to have seen some new blood. They weren't happy when they gave him the no-trade contract. And, you know, Jimmy says whatever is on his mind. And, you know, he made a mention of the fact that he wants to become, you know, the greatest shortstop in Philly's history, which I think he already is. But he wants to have more hits than any shortstop, which would be Larry Boa in Philly's history. So he needs 60 more to do that. And, you know, that came across to some fans here as sort of being selfish because he refused to waive his no-trade contract or clause, I should say. So, you know, I think that came across as a little selfish. But, you know, look, Jimmy, you're right. Jimmy should be appreciated. You know, it's kind of like when Mike Schmidt played in Philadelphia for his entire career and, you know, the fans booed him mercilessly whenever he would strike out, and yet the guy hit, you know, over 500 home runs. So, you know, I think sometimes fans, you know, they're a little spoiled. They want to see a little bit more from their players in terms of production. And, you know, Jimmy gave that to the fans of Philadelphia for a decade, and now that he's kind of on the south side, I think fans kind of wanted to see the Phillies make a change at that spot, not re-sign him to the contract and not give him a no-trade clause. But you're absolutely right, Tom. I think fans should be appreciating Jimmy Rollins. It'd be great to see him, in my opinion, finish his career in Philadelphia, just because so few players do that today in any sport. When it happens, I think that's a terrific achievement. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, because I think Jimmy still has a few years left, or at least he thinks he does. You know, we'll see where it goes with Jimmy. But, you know, this can be a tough market. You know, alluding earlier to Jonathan Papelbon blowing that save against the Rangers yesterday, one of the sportscasters went on the air. They do a post-game show right after the game on one of the networks, and he said either he's injured or he's terrible. I mean, that, you know, that's how dramatic it was. He came right on the air and said, Jonathan Papelbon, either he's injured or he's just terrible. I mean, that tells you right there that there is not a lot of patience in this town for failure.
Well, let's talk about the patience and trying to keep your head up above water. Is Cole Hamels coming back this year? Does he come back in April? Is he coming back all? Is that something that the Phillies fans can look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen reports that I think he pitched a minor league game or was getting ready to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he did pitch the game, and he came
Clearwater,
out of it feeling.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so he came out of it feeling well. And, I think he's on track to perhaps join this rotation. It's not at the end of the month, certainly, you know, in early May. And, you know, you just hope that the problem that he has does not become worse as he pitches, tries to pitch through it. You just hope it's not something that will become more serious, you know, with the more innings he logs.
Well, Ed, I wanted to get your talk on this. Unfortunately, we just have a lot of to get into it in an hour. And I tell you what, people don't realize how quick an hour goes, but it goes pretty quickly, especially when you're having fun talking about baseball and opening week and a lot going on in the baseball world. And certainly we want to stay in the loop with you regarding the Phillies, but we've got a story that's really gotten legs and jumped around the MLB. And, you know, in a way, it doesn't have anything to do with baseball, but in a way, it has a lot to do with baseball and its fans. I'm referring to Daniel Murphy, obviously, with the Mets, and criticized, being hugely criticized on both sides of the fence. So people are for it, people are against it, but certainly has really been raked across the social media world in the last 48 hours, and he didn't do anything wrong other than the fact that, hey, you know, I want to spend time with my family when my child is born. And, you know, we're not talking about, hey, we're going into the World Series or a playoff situation. We're talking about opening week, opening days, a couple games of several games yet to come. And I'm one of those guys that say, you know, I'm all for it. You know, even though I am divorced from my son's mother, The fact is, I wouldn't trade any of it, again, to not be there. And I know you're a father as well. So there's something very special about being there for the birth of your child.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Jimmy Rollins is going through the same thing. He just had his second baby. He just hit his wife just gave birth to his second daughter. And, you know, Jimmy Rollins was, he didn't fly to Texas from Philadelphia after the Ronbeck series at Citizens Bank Park. Rollins stayed behind thinking that his baby might be born, and the Phillies were fine with that. And he took a later flight. I believe it was Sunday night. He flew down, you know, on a charter plane or a regular passenger plane to Texas and joined the team there, played the first two games and was out of the lineup yesterday. He returned to Philadelphia to be there for the birth of his second child. And unless you're a parent, it might be a little difficult to understand just what a moment that is. You know, I'm blessed with three children, and I was there for all three of their births. And, you know, you would have had to drag me away not to be there just because, you know, you see it once and it's like, okay, great. You want to see it again, and then you want to see it again. So it doesn't matter. You can have five kids and you want to be there for the birth of all of them. And you're right. It's the first week of the season, and, you know, Daniel Murphy and Jimmy Rollins, they should be afforded the opportunity to be fathers, you know, to be involved in their children's and their wives, their wife's life. There's no doubt that's an important aspect. So I begrudge Murphy nothing, and the same with Rollins. I don't think Rollins' play got as much as Murphy's did, but, you know, Rollins did the same thing. He wasn't in the lineup yesterday because he was in Philadelphia while his wife, Jahari, was giving birth to their second child. And, you know, that's a terrific thing. And, you know, God bless them. I think it's great to be there when your children are born.
Right, and I absolutely agree with you. But I'm shocked, and I guess what really, you know, and believe me, I host the show, talk show, too. We want people talking about our show. We want people talking about what we're talking about. And so certainly, you know, you want to stir the soup. But I kind of, in my opinion, I think Boomer, as I said, crossed the line. And he's a professional. He knows better. And here's the thing. If I'm not mistaken, I do have to check my facts on this. But if I'm not mistaken, he has a child that's special needs, I believe, or something along those lines. And I'm just shocked. And if you didn't, I'm sure you probably
did. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you're right. You know, Boomer Esiason does have a handicapped child, and, he should know better. Whether he was saying it to stir up controversy or you know, just to get ratings or whatever it is that, he's looking for there. But I just think it's common sense that, you have to draw the line between being a professional athlete and being a father. And, you have to do both. And on other things, too, as well. I mean, there are other responsibilities you have as a human being. And, you have to kind of be sympathetic or you have to understand when those situations arise. You want to treat someone like a human being. And I think these ball clubs are right to give the paternity leave. You know, it's not like you're talking about missing 8 weeks or something like that. You're going away for a couple of days to see the birth of your child, which is a blessing to have one. And then to see it is just amazing. I mean, the birth of my three children are three things that I'll never forget. You know, no matter how old I get, I always remember being there and seeing it and what a moment it was. So shame on Boomer Esiason for thinking otherwise or saying otherwise.
Absolutely, and I'm just shocked that he did say that. And I am all for being there for your, you know, at the end of the day, I understand his point. He's like, well, you know, you're a professional baseball player. Certain things are expected of you. You get paid a large sum of money so that your kids can, you know, go to college. You can provide the best for them. And I get that, and I understand that. But there again, we're not talking about playoffs to the World Series. And maybe if that was the situation, I still don't know that I'd go as far as to say that one's wife should have a C-section. I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor, but I don't think people just walk in. All right, doctor, let's have a C-section. I got to get back to the ballpark. I don't know that that's even an option on the table for doctors these days. I don't know. I could be wrong on that. I'd have to research my facts on that. But it was just unbelievable. And just the firestorm. And what's even more
amazing to me, Ed, and more puzzling to me is the firestorm has been more for Boomer and, you know, really ripping Daniel Murphy and saying, hey, you were wrong. You need to be at the ballpark, which kind of shocks me because as many people on social media, you have different points of view, but I'm just shocked.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, Tom. You asked me to talk about the 2014 Phillies. Anything at all about them?
I just said, is there anything at all? Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, I have a real hard time understanding what you're asking me. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I mean,
Well,
I'm talking. I'm sorry. I can't understand.
Can you hear me, Ed?
No, I can't understand. I can't understand what you're saying. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Very.
All right, go ahead. Just talk about the Phillies. Go ahead.
Like I said earlier, I think the Phillies have a fighting chance if they can stay healthy and their bullpen can kind of mature as the season goes along and, you know, gain some experience. And, you know, there's the concern about Jonathan Papelbon, you know, his mile, the velocity of his fastball is down. He was at 95 when he was with the Red Sox his last year there in 2011. And this is his third year in Philly, and his fastball's sitting at about 90, 91 miles an hour. And, you know, we're in the first week of the season. And, you know, if you don't have any movement on that fastball, you're going to get hit. So, we're going to have to see about Papelbon close, or he really struggles in that role. And the Phillies will have to find somebody to take care of that ninth inning. And they have a guy that's a setup guy, Antonio Bastardo. But if you move him into the closer's role, then that takes away your setup guy. Maybe Papelbon can do that. So, you know, I think that this is a situation that's going to need to be monitored because, the Phillies could have swept that series down in Texas. They ended up losing the last two games, both in the ninth inning. They were tied in the second game of the season, and they lost in the ninth. And then they had the two-run lead going in for the ninth inning, 3-1, and they ended up losing 4-3 in the third game, which was yesterday. So they're sitting at 1-2. They go to Chicago for a weekend series, and then they have their home opener Monday. So, it's early. We'll see how Papelbon reacts to that blown save. And it'll be interesting to see Monday at the home opener. If Papelbon doesn't come out this weekend and close down a game or two, the reaction that he's going to get is going to be pretty horrific, and you'll probably see it on the MLB Network, too, because the fans will be booing him like crazy.
Can you hear me now a little bit better?
I really cannot hear. I can't understand what you're saying to me.
Can you hear me now?
It's very in and out.
Oh, man, I do not know what's going on.
I apologize.
I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me at all now?
Not really. You're okay. Very garbled.
All right, where can people find work in your masterpieces?
I heard masterpieces. I'm going to you can follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at KRACZE. And you can look online. The website, or one of the websites, is www.theintel.com. And you can find the sports links, and you can follow me there or find my work there. My masterpieces, if you follow them. Thanks for the time. Thank you very much for the time. I look forward to doing this again in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And I hope everybody can hear me. My end monologue, if you will. I do not know what happened with our audio here, but I was trying to we'll be able to get things resolved. My name is Joe.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.